Last week, I began an Advent series focusing on the human participants in the Christmas story. And I want to remind you that the main purpose of these sermons is to answer two key questions. The first being, why did God choose these specific individuals? And second, introspective, could God have chosen someone like me? The message last week, we looked at Mary and Joseph, chosen by God to be the parents of his son Jesus. And the reason that God chose this seemingly unlikely couple had nothing to do with their position in society or their natural abilities. Rather, the reason he chose them is because of their deep commitment and obedience to him. Although their future was uncertain or certain to be an uphill battle from the very start, fraught with uncertainty and rejection, they remained steadfast in their pledge before God. Mary's reply to Gabriel's announcement is probably the best way to summarize their devotion to God, where she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." This morning we're going to consider the second group of people associated with the birth of Jesus, that being the shepherds. Again, I'm not going to ask you to open your Bibles, and I just want you to listen as I read these familiar words. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of a heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. They were just as they had been told." Shepherds are mentioned throughout the Bible, both in literal and figurative senses of the word. There are several passages in the Old Testament that make reference to shepherds and shepherding. You may recall that the first person referred to as fulfilling this occupation was Adam and Eve's second son, Abel, as recorded in Genesis chapter 4. Other well-known Old Testament figures include the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After his fallout with the king of Egypt, Moses tended sheep for his father-in-law in the region of Midian. And before David became the king of Israel, he was a courageous shepherd who saved his flock from both the bear and the lion. There are also a number of passages in the New Testament that refer to shepherds. Now, the majority of these references speak of shepherding in the figurative sense of the word. This metaphorical use of the term accentuates the noble qualities and characteristics of shepherds. It is applied to Jesus in John chapter 10. And in that passage, he refers to himself as the good shepherd, even to the point of laying down his life for his sheep. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul gave these instructions to the elders in Ephesus. He said, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Now, while these scriptures emphasize the positive qualities and characteristics of shepherds and shepherding, this is far from the dominant view of shepherds in first century Palestine. Shepherding was a very difficult occupation. Being a shepherd meant long, hard days for little pay. Grass and water were scarce in the land of Palestine, which meant that you had to keep your flocks constantly moving to more promising locations. This took them many miles from their families, from their homes, from their loved ones. Days grew into weeks before coming into contact with a familiar face. Perhaps this gives us some insight into how David wrote so many psalms. Searching for adequate grazing for the sheep oftentimes involved traveling through treacherous territories. Wild animals constantly stalking, thieves devising plans to infiltrate and to steal some of the animals kept the shepherds on his toes. He had to be prepared for any enemy that might seek to harm his flock. So expertise in using the rod and the staff and slingshot were indispensable skills for a good shepherd. He was responsible for the well-being of each and every sheep, because any loss would ultimately become his own. Shepherding was not only a difficult occupation, it was also a despised one. For the majority of people living in the first century, shepherding was not the most sought-after vocation. In general, people did not dream of becoming a shepherd as a career choice. No doubt, many would have longed to own their own sheep that the shepherds were tending, but few would have thought of shepherding itself as a glamorous job. It was perhaps the most common profession in Palestine, and at the same time, perhaps the most looked down upon. Shepherds usually came from the lower classes of society. Actually, it may be more correct to refer to them as the outcasts of society, for there really wasn't a lower rung on the cultural ladder. There was no place but up for a shepherd. While they may have exhibited some admirable traits with regard to the care of their flocks, as far as the rest of the community was concerned, the only good shepherd was the one who stayed out in his field with the sheep and never came to town. Bruce Larson describes the general attitude of the populace toward the shepherds in the first century in this way. They were a despised class of people, outcast from all respectable society. Their honesty and integrity was so questionable that they were not even allowed to testify in court of law in those days. Shepherds knew how to relate to sheep, but they didn't seem to know how to get it right when it came to people who were not part of their shepherding profession. And yet, it was to and through this outcast class of people that God chose to reveal the meaning of Christ's birth. Luke, the only gospel writer to include this story in his narrative of the first advent, tells us that there was a group of shepherds who were gathered together one night in the fields outside of Bethlehem to enjoy some companionship as they watched over their sheep. And as you can imagine, a meeting like this was a cherished gathering. It may have been quite lonesome at times, always searching for sustenance for the flock, miles from home and no one to talk to. Running across another shepherd was a welcome sight and an opportunity to hear the voice of something that could actually communicate with words. It's relatively easy for us, I think, to imagine this setting. A small group of haggard men, poorly dressed, huddled around a fire. They were probably sharing stories of their encounters with wild animals, how they had rescued a lamb from the mouth of a lion or a wolf. They told jokes. They talked about their dreams, and they found comfort and camaraderie in the company of one another. They were out there on that starry night, not bothering anyone as they sat there. They were just minding their own business, not wanting to be disturbed. But that night, something happened that changed their future, and it changed their attitude about themselves. The darkness was pierced by a light of such intensity that they could hardly bear it. And in that light stood an angel. Now, it comes as no surprise to me that the scriptures tell us that their immediate reaction to this supernatural revelation was terror. I would have been frightened too. It's not often that one sits out on the hillsides outside of Bethlehem and encounters an angel. They probably surmised that this was the end of their lives. Why had the angel come if it wasn't for some misfortune? One of them may have been overcome with guilt and thought to himself, "Oh no! That prank I played on the townspeople has finally caught up to me. This must be God's judgment." But to the shepherd's amazement, the angel came with an unexpected announcement. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." No sooner had the angel finished his announcements than he was joined with a great company of angelic beings, all praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It must have been quite a sight. I'm sure that the shepherds were filled with awe and wonder. They were probably still pretty scared. I don't know of anything that I have ever witnessed that could begin to compare with that event. Then, as unexpectedly and mysteriously as they appeared, the angels left and returned to heaven. I'm sure that the conversation that followed was an interesting one. "Did you see that? Was that for real? Did that just happen? Did we just experience some kind of a mass hallucination? Perhaps one of them said, Zebediah, what did you put in the lentil soup? Perhaps they thought, are I still alive? After coming to their senses, they arrived at the conclusion that they had received a message from the Lord. So they discussed it among themselves and decided to go into Bethlehem and to see this amazing thing that they had been told about. They hurried into town, and after searching out a number of stables, they made a wondrous discovery. They found the one where Mary and Joseph had given birth to their first son, Jesus. It was just like the angel said. There was the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It must have been real. And they told the proud new parents what had happened to them, how the angel had appeared to them and told them to go to find the baby who had been born lying in a manger. They told them about the many angels that had joined the first angel to sing the praises of their God. And their story must have brought back memories to Mary and Joseph of how God had visited them through angels. The shepherds were not only convinced that the visit from the angels really happened, they also believed that the news was too good to keep to themselves. So after seeing the child, they became the first human evangelists, spreading the good news that will cause joy for all people. They ran up and down the streets of the town of Bethlehem shouting, Christ, the Messiah, is born today in a stable in Bethlehem. Luke tells us that those who heard the message were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. And I suppose it's no wonder that they were amazed at what they were hearing when you consider the source. After all, they were shepherds. Everyone knows that you can't believe 90% of what they say and the other 10% is a blatant lie. The promised Messiah is born here in Bethlehem in this puny, forgotten town. You say he is born in a stable and we can go over and see him lying in a manger? Christ the Lord? Like, I'm sure that it's really him and that God handpicked you shepherds to announce his arrival. Amazed at what they had to say. Well, Luke doesn't tell us how great the response was to the shepherd's proclamation, but one thing is certain. Their lives would never be the same. They returned to their flocks on the hillside, praising God the whole way for the incredible privilege he had given them, the first witnesses and evangelists of the good news. From now on, they would feel differently about their occupation as shepherds. They would have thought to themselves, out of all the people in Palestine, God chose us. So, why? Why did God choose the shepherds to be the first recipients and broadcasters of the news of Christ's birth? I believe that there are three main reasons why he chose them. First, was because of their humility. because of their humble position, they were the perfect ambassadors to deliver the message of Christ's arrival. How so? You see, the King of Kings had taken the ultimate step of humiliation. He had laid aside his eternal, essential interrelationship with the Father and Holy Spirit to become one of us. His advent did not need the pompous rhetoric of an eloquent governmental official. He had come in lowly simplicity, a baby in a manger. What better bearers of the good news that the Savior of all the people, whether they are great or small, had come than these humble shepherds? If it was good news for them, then it was certainly good news for everyone. So, humility. Second reason God chose the shepherds is because of their availability. And what I mean by availability is that when they were commissioned to go and seek out the child, they said yes and hurried to carry out the task. Now, I've never worked as a shepherd of the four-legged type of sheep, but I am certain of one thing. You don't get in a hurry to go anywhere when you have to take care of a flock of sheep. Sheep need constant attention and protection. Do you ever stop to consider the fact that when they left the flock unattended in order to find the Christ, that they left these sheep vulnerable? The sheep were vulnerable the entire time they were gone. Wild animals or thieves could have caused great harm. Their livelihood depended on the safety of their flocks. And as I said earlier, any loss would be their loss. But they went anyway. They believed that they had heard God. And when God put these men to the test of following him and taking a risk or choosing their own personal safety and well-being, they chose to obey him. They weren't blessed with great position or abilities, but when it came to availability, they were more than willing. And finally, God chose these humble, available shepherds because of their simple faith. When they had finished discussing the matter among themselves, they arrived at the conclusion that the Lord himself had spoken to them. They were men who believed that God was worthy of their trust and obedience. They believed that they had a responsibility to go at his command, assured that he would take care of their future. They must have been men who knew God on a personal level. They recognized his voice when he spoke. And they heard their voice and could do nothing other than follow it. So how about us? Could God have chosen someone like you or me for this job? Are we humble people by nature? Or do we feel like we have to be noticed or be first in everything? Are we available to God? If he were to call us to drop everything at a moment's notice and to follow him, would we be able to say, yes, Lord, we are willing? Are we people of simple faith? Do we really trust God with our lives? Do we really believe that He knows what's best for our future? Finding the Christ of Christmas will take humility, availability, and simple faith. Just as He announced it to the shepherds long ago, the voice of the angel still resounds. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Will you join the shepherds who said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about? Jesus can still be found if we will but listen to His voice and follow His leading. So this morning, I encourage each of us to drop everything and to go back to that stable in Bethlehem and to see what the shepherds saw. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. For that baby in the manger is still changing lives today and filling hearts with praise to God for what He has done.